Hi everyone, this episode is in English. We have a short introduction in German, but after the interview itself will be in English, so stick with us. Der Lieferdienst Gorillas wird in der Start-up-Welt für sein schnelles Wachstum gefeiert. Gleichzeitig streiken die FahrerInnen und beklagen schlechte Arbeitsbedingungen. Wie kann ihre Situation besser werden? Willkommen bei Solidarität, was können wir tun? Wir stellen in diesem Podcast Menschen und Initiativen vor, die sich für ein bestimmtes Thema einsetzen. Ich bin Eva und mit dabei ist auch Vince. Hey Vince.
Hi Eva.
Ich habe ehrlich gesagt noch nie bei Gorillas bestellt. Und du?
Nein, ich auch nicht, aber wir sehen in letzter Zeit viele Rider auf den Straßen hier.
Ja, und ich habe hier vor allem richtig große Plakate gesehen in Leipzig und dann irgendwie gemerkt, aha, das ist wohl ein Ding und habe jetzt gemerkt, okay, das ist ein Startup, was super schnell gewachsen ist, inzwischen in rund 20 Städten in Deutschland und auch schon in anderen europäischen Ländern ist. Die Idee dahinter ist, das ist nicht ein Lieferdienst wie Lieferando, wo man gekochtes Essen bestellt, sondern es geht um Lebensmittel, so wie aus dem Supermarkt, die innerhalb von 10 Minuten geliefert werden sollen. Für eine kleine Gebühr, zum Beispiel, wenn man mitten beim Kochen ist und eine Zutat fehlt oder wenn man eben faul auf dem Sofa liegt und auf irgendwas Bestimmtes Bock hat und zu faul ist, nochmal rauszugehen.
Gorillas sind nicht die Ersten, die das machen. Es gibt zum Beispiel auch Delivery Hero und Flink. Aber Gorillas ist gerade sehr sichtbar bei uns in Leipzig mit fetten Plakatwänden und in der Presse mit negativen Schlagzeilen auch. RiderInnen streiken wegen schlechter Arbeitsbedingungen. Diese Woche kam die Nachricht, dass der Berliner Senat ein Bußgeldverfahren eingeleitet hat, weil der Arbeitsschutz verletzt wurde.
Wie können die Arbeitsbedingungen für die LieferfahrerInnen besser werden und wie mobilisieren und organisieren sie sich? Darüber sprechen wir in dieser Folge mit Jascha vom Gorillas Workers Collective und Mo von einer Art Gewerkschaft, kann man glaube ich so sagen, von Lieferando-RiderInnen. Hi Jascha und Mo.
Hi.
Hallo.
We decided to do the interview in English since a lot of the riders are also non-German speaking and we thought this would reach more people and also is more comfortable for our guests to answer in English. So let's start. The strikes in Berlin have been going on for weeks now. How's the situation currently? Are you still striking?
Yeah, to put it short, that's... I would say it's some sort of misconception that there is a regular strike happening on every single day. These are events that have been self-organized. There have been strikes occurring spontaneously in the past weeks, but it's not like the way we all understand the union strike. Like, it's not that, like, a union or something called out a strike and we are, and all the workers in Berlin are not working every single day. It's more of spontaneous actions. Some, like, one or two were planned more in advance, but the rest happened in literally, like, 10 minutes. So, in the past 2 weeks, there haven't been any specific strike actions, blockades, whatever you want to call it. But yes, there is, of course, always movement.
Okay. Have there been any reactions or consequences from the company so far?
That's a complicated question. Directly, I mean, no one has been officially fired or there have maybe been some individual cases of warnings sent out for not attending a shift and instead striking. I think there was been like one or two cases of that, but most people have not had any direct consequences from striking. On the contrary, though, we have noticed a trend where the company tries to find other causes to punish people who have been openly supporting these actions.
Mo, can you maybe frame it a little bit from your experience with Lieferando? And as I understood, you are a type of union for riders. Can you maybe say something about that? Since when have you been organized? And I guess it's the same problems you are criticizing as now the Gorillas workers do.
Yeah, like in February this year, there was a big snowstorm in Berlin. And this is where basically most of the writers, not all companies, but most of the writers in Berlin have been striking. And these, as Yasha pointed out, are spontaneous strikes. They are not like upfront planned union strikes to reach, for example, a collective agreement. We are far from trying to reach for a collective agreement because, as you mentioned in the introduction, we are struggling to get the bare minimum what the law is basically giving us and what we are deserved by the law. So basically all these spontaneous strikes come from violations of laws, like people getting fired. And this is not only a violation of law, it's very respectless. And it's a shame that company do this because this has severe consequences for us. We are like precarious workers. We basically have to work all day every month to pay our rent. So this is like basically putting us at risk. And that's maybe another factor why, you know, we don't plan for something like a collective agreement because we just want to survive and we strike if we can't. Like we strike if we need to get back to work to earn money to pay rent.
And can you say something about how you started organizing with the writers?
This group of Lieferando writers that I'm meeting with now almost like every 2 weeks or since 1.5 years every week, we started to do this at the beginning of Corona because they are our working conditions. Basically became life-threatening and more people wanted to do something against this. And we tried to push for just, you know, standard health stuff and not infecting ourselves massively with Corona. This is called what we are doing, like a meeting as a workers group. So it's like something related to a union, but it's not a union. It's just a group of workers meeting. The thing is, it's nothing regulated. There's no law about workers' group compared to like workers' councils, for example. They are like elected and get protection from the law. Workers' groups are unprotected and nothing official. And so we are meeting just, you know, as workers every week and talk about our problems and how to find solutions. Because these companies, they leave us alone completely. And we have no kind of feedback, support, is minimal with long delays. So we have to help ourselves.
Because Gorillaz is such a young startup, how and when did the workers start organizing themselves?
There have been already attempts, like some initial attempts, I think, like around November, December of last year. I mean, the way... We actually personally don't really know, like the workers at Gorillaz, we don't really know when Gorillaz actually started operating and when did they, like there's no clear dates for that. It seems like the company started operating in May, but maybe it has actually been in August that the first warehouse opened. I mean, that's not all clear, but we know that they started growing by late September, October, and started like literally like hiring new riders and opening new warehouses around mid-October or so. And I think it took about 1 or 2 months for people to understand that there are some things that are really, really wrong with this company, with the working conditions, with complete disrespect for the workers. And there have been attempts already in December of like, there were attempts at like meetings with management. There was an open letter that was prepared on January 18th. Sent to management to say like we demand this, this, and this. There were like 4 or 5 points, like in terms of equipment, payment on time, shift scheduling, and at the end, it's a threat. Like the workers that were working there at the time threatened that they're gonna start a unionization process. It took a formal turn in early February after the big snowstorm that we experienced, and that's when like the workers collective was actually founded, established, when we started having regular meetings and basically growing ever since into what we are right now.
And are your two groups collaborating maybe also with people from other delivery services?
Yes, of course. I mean, we wouldn't be where we are now if we would not exchange experiences and contribute to, like, also, like, a lot of, like, people from Lieferando and other companies, like, workers from other companies also had major contributions to our work. And, of course, we are not just, like, some... we are, like, a group of workers at Gorillaz, but we also rely on support from a lot of other organizing efforts, you know? It's... We always need to exchange experiences and knowledge in order to grow, in order to advance.
Okay. In Leipzig, a local group for the delivery union of Freie ArbeiterInnen Union has just prevented a rider from being fired. He was part of the union group. How big is the fear of riders being fired, and how does this affect the strikes?
I guess I'll answer that first. Yeah, it has an important effect, of course, because a lot of people, well, most people are on probation. I mean, we have the 6-month probation period in which we, like, the company Gorillaz has been known to fire people who are critical of the company during their probation, and the company is not afraid to, like, use this opportunity to get rid of as many people as possible who will in the long term prevent the company from achieving, from getting its next investment round going. So yes, so that's a major fear that people have. The recent strikes have actually shown that the workers have less to fear. But still, a lot of people who are critical of the company are not comfortable with being public about this, because we also come from a lot of different countries where the repression against such actions is, of course, much worse than in Germany. And so people are not aware of the situation here and in how far they can be put into danger, lose their job, or even go to prison or get killed by such actions.
As a big union, like a big traditional union, so to say, the Nahrungsmittelgenuss Gastronomie Union says they are responsible for delivery riders. Is it an option for you and the colleagues you know to join these types of unions, or is it a completely different reality?
For sure, like anybody, it's a basic democratic right, you know, in the federal law, like in the Grundgesetz, there is a Koalitionsfreiheit or Vereinigungsfreiheit, so... workers can do what they want. They can do their own coalition, their own Vereinigung, as, for example, the Gorillaz Workers Collective is doing, basically. They can join any coalition, which unions are like a special kind of coalition. So everybody is free to join a union or not. And these unions decide themselves if they are, like, responsible for these workers. So what basically happened or is relevant for us, me as a Lieferando rider, the NGG thinks or defines itself as being responsible for me as a restaurant delivery worker. But Jascha, for example, or the Gorilla and the Gorilla riders, the Gorilla delivery workers are... nowadays represented by another union called Verdi. And these unions decide themselves for whom they define as their organizational area. So we have the choice to join whatever union, but not all unions are responsible for all workers.
And to add to that, it's actually a recent thing that Verdi talked to NGG and decided to take on responsibility for us, to represent us. It's also like kind of alienating in the end, because I mean, people who work at Lieferando or Vault are like represented by NGG, and those who are doing like supermarket delivery are represented by Verdi. But the thing is, we are all literally in the same position, and it's divisive what they're doing in the end. I mean, we would prefer to work with as many unions as possible, but it's hard to organize with other writers who are suffering from the same things when the unions are spread, like divided across these invisible borders, you know?
Yeah, of course. Our last question for today, but I think it's for our listeners, a very important one. Is there anything each of us can do for the working conditions of the writers, especially when we are the customers?
One thing that we regularly tell people who ask such questions is, if you do order and you live, on the fifth floor without an elevator or the 10th floor without an elevator, then please come down. This especially goes like for these ultra fast deliveries, like from like Gorillas and whatever, Flink and so, because I mean, it's worth to say for everyone that they should like at least come down half the way, but especially for us, since we're carrying like 10 to 15 to 20 kilograms on our backs, and that the promised time is 10 minutes, so it doesn't make sense like to not be expecting someone to come if the delivery is going to be arriving like in a few minutes, so the person can prepare really well, and always tip in cash.
Okay. We think you want to add something?
Oh, just it's the same for Lieferando.
Okay.
It's maybe not as time pressing, like the time factor at Gorillas is more insane. It's really, for me, it's inhumane. But it's basically the same. If you just order something, don't expect it to be there. You know what the company tells you. It's basically lies, and it's just putting pressure on us. So just, you know, chill. You're going to get your stuff, but maybe in an hour. So relax. You know, you're at home. And yeah, if you are at home and you want something in time, and it might be handy if you actually answer when we ring the bell, or if your door is open so we don't, you know, pass by your door. So something like this, you know, basic human social interaction. If you expect somebody just be in the door and, or maybe come down, yeah, it would be nice. Yeah. And the other thing, like what I really would have to add is, yeah, you can basically ask riders when they're standing in front of you, ask them, hey, do you know that there are messenger groups where you can basically get in touch with your colleagues, and you can organize, and you can try to get solutions for your problems. So try to get them into the messengers groups and in contact with other writers, because on Monday, another writer told me that was working for Lieferando for 2 years, and he worked for 1 year and did not know about any messenger group, any like group meeting, any other things. He was basically completely isolated by himself. And you can basically try to start this by asking them, hey, are you like in touch with a union? Are you in touch with your fellow workers? You know about these workers' chat groups and stuff.
Thanks. That's a good advice, I think.
Yeah. And yeah, that's the end of this episode. We thank you so, so much for this conversation and for, yeah, your impressions. Wenn euch dieser Podcast gefällt, dann sagt es doch bitte gerne weiter und klickt auf Abonnieren, damit ihr auch die nächsten Folgen nicht verpasst. Wenn ihr eine Idee habt, zu welchem Thema wir uns hier das nächste Mal widmen sollten, dann schreibt uns doch gerne eine Mail an solidarreport@gmail.com oder schreibt uns auf bei Instagram. Da findet ihr uns unter solidarreport. Danke fürs Zuhören und bis zum nächsten Mal.
Danke und thanks again, both of you.